This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by our guy, Matt Verderam, and go through some of the top stories in the National Football League. Matt, how you doing, my man?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing fantastic, man. Where do you think Aaron Rodgers lands?
Pittsburgh. Look, I've never really bought into this whole thing with Minnesota. Talking to people in the league, I think there's been some intrigue as to whether or not he would go there. I think he would love to go there if that was a possibility. But I was in the building in Minnesota in January, and there is a genuine feeling that J.J. McCarthy is going to be very, very good. Now, look, who knows if he is? See, Kevin O'Connell is a very, very good quarterbacks coach, very good offensive mind. So I don't think Rodgers is going to end up there. I've never felt that way. I still think Pittsburgh makes the most sense. There is some talk that, you know, maybe he's hesitant to leave New York. He's kind of put down some roots in the last couple of years. But I think in the end, if your Rodgers is going to be 42 this year, like, you have a shot at least to be reasonably competitive with Pittsburgh. I don't know if that's true with the Giants.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. I mean, going to the Giants to me is just unserious. Like, I can't take it seriously if you go to the Giants. I mean, they could be looking at a scenario in which their general manager, coach, and quarterback are all gone for next year. That's just not a great system to me to build your foundation on. I'm with you. If he joins the Pittsburgh Steelers, they at least got a shot at making the postseason, and that's the most interesting destination for him. You got a great coach. You got talent around you. I can't really think of many positives for the Giants other than you didn't move.
No, there's not a lot of positives. And with Pittsburgh, you know, that is an organization that is very hesitant to change. They've had three coaches since 1969. Okay? I mean, the Rooney family is very traditional, conservative in their approach. That being said, Mike Tomlin's been there for a long time, and that team in the last decade has not won anything. They barely won a playoff game in the last decade. So, I do think there's a little bit of internal pressure that isn't normally there in Pittsburgh. Hey, you don't have to win the Super Bowl, but can't be an easy out in the wild card. I mean, when you think of the Steelers in recent years, that's what they've been. They were an easy out last year. They were an easy out against Buffalo a couple of years ago. They were an easy out in Kansas City 3 or 4 years back. Like, they've been non-competitive in the playoffs. And while I don't think anybody in the upper crust of Pittsburgh's management or ownership is sitting there saying, yeah, you guys got to go beat Baltimore and Buffalo and Kansas City, you've got to be competitive. You've got to be able to win a playoff game. You've got to at least be able to kind of, you know, stoke the flame of contention. They're not doing that if they don't have Rodgers. There's no other option for them. So I expect them to make a real strong push to try to close that deal.
Matt, give me a team that you loved their free agency. Give me a team that made you scratch your head in free agency.
So, look, the team that made me scratch my head in a lot of ways was Cincinnati. Now, to be fair to the Bengals, they've re-signed Chase and Higgins, but I still look at the Bengals and I don't really understand what they're doing. Like, it's very easy to just look at them and say, well, they have Burrow and Chase and Higgins and maybe Hendrickson will see how it plays out. And that's enough to at least be competitive. And my answer is no, it's not. Burrow just had what very well might be the best statistical season of his career. Jamar Chase just won the receiver's triple crown. Higgins had 10 touchdowns, and Hendrickson led the league in sacks, and they didn't make the playoffs. they did nothing to get better. Nothing. Bringing those guys back makes them better long term. It doesn't make them better now. They had those guys. Those guys have been there. Like they didn't add anybody. So I just, if you're the Bengals, it feels like they're just kind of treading water at best, falling behind as time goes on. By the way, I said the same thing for the Chargers, who I thought were going to add a receiver, maybe get some help. Like they added Mekhi Becton, which I like better than that. It was like it was the same teams coming back. On the other side of it, I love what Washington did. And part of that is beyond free agency. They trade for Debo. Debo's not the same guy, but that's fine. They don't need him to be the same guy. They need him to be good. And then they got Tunzel, who I think really solidifies that offensive line, gives Daniel some protection on the blind side. I like what they did there. It felt like they were just smart. They didn't panic. They didn't overly invest. They kind of were able to pick and choose. I think Washington's in a strong position moving forward. I also like what Minnesota did, adding to that defense. I think Minnesota got better. The Vikings, to me, if McCarthy is good next year, they're a real contender. The Vikings have a lot of pieces in place.
It's interesting because there haven't really been, I would say, many major trades so far this offseason. I saw a stat a couple of days ago that Adam Schefter tweeted out that there has not been a trade that involved a first-round pick. This is the closest to the NFL draft since 1993. Usually there's one of those kind of major trades that happen.
Right.
I'm wondering who could that possibly be? Do you see one of those deals being possible between now and the NFL draft?
It's always possible, but I don't. Right now, there's not a lot of guys. I mean, Hendrickson, if he gets moved, there's not going to be a first-round pick. Okay? That's a second, late second, early third type of deal. If Cousins gets moved, obviously that's not a first-round pick. Stafford, had he have been traded, depending on the team, it could have been, although with the Giants and the Raiders, it probably would have been more like a second than plus-plus. I don't know that player's out there. I don't know, if Chase had gotten traded, sure. Obviously, that's not going to happen now. I don't know who that guy is. And it doesn't mean it can't happen. Sometimes these things come out of nowhere. A team makes a call. A guy's available that you think would be available, and boom. But the DK Metcalf of the world already dealt second-round pick. Like, I think we're probably going to go into the draft very much more likely than not with everybody owning their first-round pick.
Right now, we're talking to our guy, Matt Verderam, for a couple more minutes, going through some of the top storylines in the National Football League. Let's start with a couple of the proposed rule changes. The Lions want to change the seeding process. Basically, they just want the best teams to be ranked 1-7 in the postseason. It doesn't matter if you won your division or not. Do you like that change?
No, I don't. I think it's important to win your division, and I get it. I understand that a lot of times the fifth seed has a better record than the fourth seed. I know why they feel that way, and that's fine. But no, I don't agree with that. I hate that the NBA does their playoff seedings the way they do, where you don't have to win the division to be a three seed. To me, it cheapens the division. Then why even have divisions? Just get rid of them and just have a conference schedule, and you just play everybody once, and then you play whatever it is, a couple games over in the other conference and randomize it or whatever. I think it matters. I think if you don't have division winners having seeding advantages, it's going to cheapen the whole thing as far as the divisional crown and what it means. It should matter if you win your division. You should be rewarded. And yeah, every once in a while you're going to get some team that goes 9-8 and wins the division. I get it. But no, I don't support that.
The other proposed rule change has been the tush push. This is my feeling towards the tush push. They can't prove that it adds to injuries because that would be an easy way to get rid of it. If they could prove, hey, this is unsafe for players, they could get rid of it. Where a lot of the pushback to the rule to me simply is, well, one team is just better at it than everybody else, and that's not enough for me to want to remove the play.
I don't enjoy watching it, but I would not be in favor of removing it because, to your point, if everybody was really good at it, fine. But everybody's not really good at it. We watched the Bills basically go home in January because they couldn't get a foot against Kansas City over and over and over and over trying to do it. And Josh Allen is the size of a linebacker, and they couldn't do it. The Eagles are great at it. And to me, if you perfect – it's almost like – if back in the 60s, teams said, well, we've got to get rid of the sweep. You're not allowed to do the sweep because the Lombardi Packers are great at it. Well, that's your problem. Stop it. You know, I mean, I understand the thought process. Like, look, it's not aesthetically pleasing, and it's not something we want to watch. I get all that. The Eagles should not be penalized for being great at something. I don't believe in that. I think, look, if you don't like it, stop it. Figure out a way to stop it. You can't tell me there's no way to stop it. There's a way to stop it. Nobody's figured it out quite yet. But you stop it. You know, I just, if every team had a 95% success rate, I'd say, yeah, just get rid of it. But that's not the case.
I got a couple of Chiefs questions before we get you out of here. What do you make of their most recent moves to basically try to run back last year's offense? They brought back Kareem Hunt. They also made the decision to bring back Juju Smith-Schuster. For the most part, as of now, their offense is virtually the exact same as it was for the Super Bowl.
I don't mind them bringing back Kareem Hunt because I know Kareem Hunt's going to have a lesser role. Or, you know, at least I should say, no, you would think a lesser role than they did a year ago. I don't mind that. The Juju Smith-Schuster thing, I just don't understand. Just go get somebody who's younger and more athletic and can move and is going to play more than 12 games. Like, that one I don't understand. I know he's beloved in the locker room, and I know Mahomes trusts him, and there's value in that. There truly is. But, you know, do I love that? No. Am I going to freak out about him being the fifth receiver on the depth chart? No. Look, I will say this. This offense and this entire team, this is going to come down. This whole season's come down to one thing, okay? Can the left side of the line block? If the left side of the line blocks, they're the best team in football, at least in the AFC, in my opinion. And I get it. They got blown out in the Super Bowl, and everybody remembers that game and just looks at it as like a referendum. They went to the Super Bowl having lost one game last year. Like, they are a team that is absolutely the upper crust, but, you know, is Rice going to be there at the beginning of the year? If not, for how long will he not be there? Worthy, there, I guess, to be fair, there's somewhat of the same question, although it seems like it's not quite as much of a question as it maybe initially appeared to be. You know, the Chiefs are going to add Rice and Hollywood Brown to this offense, essentially. But it's all about, can they block? If they can block, they'll be good offense. I mean, if they can't, they'll be a train wreck.
Couple more questions here, Matt, and we appreciate the time. Would you rather have Jalen Moore on the contract that he has, or would you rather have Cam Robinson on the one that he just signed with the Texans? He got a one-year, $12 million deal that maxes up to 14.5.
Probably the Jalen Moore deal, because if you actually look at it, they can get out of it after 1 year. Like, there's a little bit of dead money and all that, but they could get out of it. And I think Cam Robinson – and I don't mean this as a compliment or derisively. He's a guy. Like, he's an average left tackle. He's not great. He's had games where he's been really good. He's had games where he's been brutal. And I think why he was out there so long was the end of his time in Minnesota, that offensive line, and he in particular really struggled. Part of that was Darnold's fault, but he struggled as well. Jalen Moore, look, you talk to people, you know, around that signing, and there's a sense of, listen, there is the unknown. There's no arguing that. He said 12 career starts. But they like the way he was playing in pass pro in San Francisco. They like his ability to anchor. There's a thought that, look, you get him in there, coach him up, get some more experience, then he can go out and be good. And I think if you're the Chiefs, 2 for 30, you're not paying him to be Trent Williams. You're paying him to not be a road cone. You're paying him to go in there and just be good. And if he's not good, they'll cut him after a year. If he's good, they'll keep him. If he's great, they'll extend him. But I think I'd rather have him and his potential upside than Cam Robinson for 1 year. I know, like, look, there's no upside. He is what he is.
That is our guy, Matt Verderam, joining us on the show today to go through some of the top stories in the National Football League. Matt, great stuff, man. I don't know if you're a March Madness guy, but enjoy March.
St. John's, all done from New York, man. Rooting for St. John's like crazy.
Absolutely. That's Matt Verderam joining us on the show today. Always happy to catch up with him.